As Fash sprinted down the grand gallery, Kale's radio blared over the distant sound of the alarm.
"He jumped!" Kale was yelling. "I'm showing the signal out on Place du Carrousel, outside the bathroom window. Wait, he's moving! Langdon's moving!"
Fash kept running.
"Langdon's moving faster!"
Kale was still yelling on the radio.
"He must be in a car! I think he's in a car! I can't—"
Kale's words were swallowed by the alarm as Fash burst into the men's room with his gun drawn. Wincing against the piercing shrill, he scanned the area. The stalls were empty, the bathroom deserted. Fash's eyes moved immediately to the shattered window at the far end of the room. He ran to the opening and looked over the edge. The alarm cut off finally, and Kale's voice became audible again over the walkie-talkie.
"Moving south, faster, crossing the Seine on Pont du Carrousel."
Fash turned to his left. The only vehicle on Pont du Carrousel was an enormous twin-bed Trelor delivery truck moving southward away from the Louvre. The truck's open-air bed was covered with a vinyl tarp, roughly resembling a giant hammock. That truck, only moments ago, had probably been stopped at a red light directly beneath the restroom window.
"The dot is turning," Kale called. "He's turning right on Port de Saint-Pierre."
Kale was already radioing the agents outside, pulling them off the Louvre perimeter and sending them to their squad cars in pursuit, all the while broadcasting the truck's changing location.
"It's over,"
Fash knew. His men would have the truck surrounded within minutes. Langdon was not going anywhere. As Fash exited the restroom, he wondered if Langdon had even survived the fall. Not that it mattered.
Langdon ran, guilty as charged.
Only 10 yards from the restroom, Langdon and Sophie stood in the darkness of the grand gallery, their backs pressed to one of the series of large partitions that hid the bathrooms from the gallery. He and Sophie had barely managed to hide themselves before Fash had darted past them, gun drawn, and disappeared into the bathroom. The last 60 seconds had been a blur. Langdon had been standing inside the men's room, refusing to run from a crime he didn't commit, when Sophie peered downward into the street.
"With a little aim, you can get out of here," she said.
"Aim?"
Uneasy, Langdon looked out the restroom window. Up the street, an enormous twin-bed 18-wheeler was headed for the stoplight beneath the window. Stretched across the truck's massive cargo bay was a loose blue vinyl tarp.
"Take out the tracking dot," Sophie said.
Bewildered, Langdon fumbled in his pocket until he found the tiny metallic disc. Sophie took it from him and strode immediately to the sink. She grabbed a thick bar of soap, placed the tracking dot on top of it, and used her thumb to push the disc down hard into the bar. As the disc sunk into the soft surface, she pinched the hole closed, firmly embedding the device in the bar. Handing the bar to Langdon, Sophie retrieved a heavy cylindrical trash can from under the sinks. Before Langdon could protest, Sophie ran at the window, holding the can before her like a battering ram. Driving the bottom of the trash can into the center of the window, she shattered the glass. Alarms erupted overhead at ear-splitting decibel levels.
"Give me the soap!"
Sophie yelled. Langdon thrust the bar into her hand. Palming it, she peered out the shattered window at the 18-wheeler idling below. As the traffic lights prepared to change, Sophie took a deep breath and lobbed the bar of soap out into the night. The soap plummeted downward toward the truck, barely making the edge of the tarp and sliding downward into the cargo bay just as the traffic light turned green.
"Congratulations," Sophie said, dragging him toward the door. "You just escaped from the Louvre."
Fleeing the men's room, they moved into the shadows just as Fash rushed past. Now, with the fire alarm silenced, Langdon could hear the sounds of DCPJ sirens tearing away from the Louvre. A police exodus. Fash had hurried off as well, leaving the Grand Gallery deserted.
"There's an emergency stairwell about 50 meters back into the Grand Gallery," Sophie said. "Now that the guards are leaving the perimeter, we can get out of here."
The cavernous nave of Saint-Sulpice was as silent as a tomb. As he followed Sister Billet down the main aisle, Silas was surprised by the austerity of the sanctuary. Unlike Notre-Dame with its colorful frescoes, gilded altar work, and warm wood, Saint-Sulpice was stark and cold. Feeling eager to get to work, Silas wished Sister Billet would leave him.
"I am embarrassed, sister, that you were awoken on my behalf."
"Not at all. You are in Paris a short time. You should not miss Saint-Sulpice. Are your interests in the church more architectural or historical?
Actually, sister, my interests are spiritual.
She gave a pleasant laugh.
That goes without saying. I simply wondered where to begin your tour.
Silas put a soft but heavy hand on her shoulder and peered down.
Sister, I feel guilty already having awoken you. Please, you should return to bed. I can enjoy your sanctuary and then let myself out.
The nun looked uneasy.
Are you sure you won't feel abandoned?
Not at all. Prayer is a solitary joy.
As you wish.
Silas took his hand from her shoulder.
Sleep well, sister. May the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Sister Billet headed for the stairs. Crouching in the shadows of the rear choir balcony high above the altar, Sister Billet peered silently through the balustrade at the cloaked monk. The sudden dread in her soul made it hard to stay still. For a fleeting instant, she wondered if this mysterious visitor could be the enemy they had warned her about, and if tonight she would have to carry out the orders she had been holding all these years. She decided to stay there in the darkness and watch his every move.